Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Good morning. So I remember when I was looking for a youth ministry job, kind of rounding up the last year of college, and I was trying to figure out if there were any churches that would take a chance on me. I remember my brother, he gave me this piece of advice. He said, you want to find a church where you can be the first youth minister that they ever had. He said, or you want to follow somebody who maybe the church didn't like very well. I mean, he had been in youth ministry for a couple years, and I was just taking his advice with that and didn't really understand what he meant. But I've learned that is probably a good place to be in. And I think Sam knew that exact information as well, because we had a great week of revival, and Jim spoke all week long, and Sam dipped on vacation and left me to be the speaker to follow Jim. And it's not a place that you want to fall into, but either way, you're stuck with me now. So we did have a great week this week, and I hope that you were revived this week. I hope that you've had a chance to be able to, if you weren't here, be able to listen to all the services. One of the coolest part, in my opinion, the very last night, we actually had two baptisms this past Wednesday. One took place at a different location than here, and I don't believe he's here this morning, so we'll recognize him next week. But we ended our revival service with a baptism, and we are so excited for that. I want to recognize and invite Tammy Cromer to come up here. I have a certificate and some information for you, and why don't we recognize her and celebrate this decision. There you go. And we believe that giving our life to the Lord is the best decision that we can ever make. And she's wearing the t-shirt that says that as well, that this is the greatest decision that any of us can ever make. You know, today being Youth Sunday, I want to start by asking this question. How many of you have heard somebody say, or maybe you said this yourself, the youth are the future of the church? I'll admit that I've said that before. I hope you're not mad at me when I say this, but I've come to believe that statement couldn't be further from the truth. What I mean by that is that I don't believe that the youth are the future of the church. I believe that the youth are the church today. I believe that when this is said, that this is said with hope, and this is said with encouragement, and it's said with hearts that are meaning it the right way. But I still think that this statement is a statement that is inaccurate. I came across a couple statistics, and I was preparing for a lesson that we had about a month ago, and I came across these statistics that were talking about teens and church. And these stats said this: 40% of students will leave the church by the time that they're in eighth grade, 13 or 14 years of age. They went on to say this, that by the time high school students graduate, 70% of females will walk away from the church, and 90% of males will walk away from the church. And when I came across this, I couldn't help but ask, why? Why is this the case? And I'd love to be able to stand here this morning and say, here's the exact answer and here's what we need to do. But the truth is that we're not 100% sure. Now, we can speculate, but we're not 100% sure. But again, the truth is that there's a lot of teens, by the time that they are done with high school, they are leaving the church. And I wonder if maybe part of the reason isn't because there's sometimes that we believe that the youth are the future of the church. A few weeks ago, I said I was preparing for a youth lesson. I asked the teens on a Sunday night, I said, what do you guys want to study next week? We were in between a couple trips that we were taking, and we had a regular night of youth group in the summer. And I said, what do you guys want to study next week? And they threw out some answers, and one of them said, what is the role of youth within the church? And I'll be honest with you, I stood there as that was thrown out, and I thought, I can answer that right here, right now. And I thought to myself in just a split second, this is going to be a pretty easy week. Like, I'll be able to throw this lesson together in no time, and I won't have to have a lot of time spent diving into this. The truth is, we're about a month later, and I'm still wrestling with what the answer to that question is. I could give you a quick overview of what I think it is, but I've been convicted by what I've been studying and what I have dove into. And so today I want to talk about this. Today I want to ask and answer two different questions. The first question is this: Does God really want our youth to play a part in the church today? What is the role of the youth within the church today? And the second question, the follow-up to that, is if youth are meant to play a part in the church, then what is my role as a non-youth? That's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do so, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for another opportunity to be able to be in your house, to be able to meet together, and to be able to worship you. God, right now as we dive into your word, I pray that that you will help me to speak clearly and effectively. God, I pray that that we will be here with hearts that are open and attentive to what you would have us to hear. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first question, let's dive into this. The question that was asked: what is the role of youth within the church? Does God really want me to play a part as a youth within the church? Probably the most famous verse that pops in our minds when we start to think about youth is a verse that was written from Paul to Timothy that says, "Do not let anyone what? Look down on you because you are young," right? Do not let anybody look down on you because you are young. I find it interesting that Paul writes this to Timothy, because Paul was around the age of 70 years old when he writes this, and Timothy is probably around the age of 30. And when we think of 30, we don't really think of youth. Now, I know that youth is a relative term. 30 to 70 is young, but 30 to 10 is ancient. What I want us to understand this morning, as we talk about youth, I want us to understand that I'm going to talk about youth as an age, but I'm also going to talk about youth as maybe younger in faith as well. And I know when we sit up here and we say, well, let's talk about youth, there's a lot of us in this room saying, well, I'm not young, so this doesn't apply to me. But I would encourage you to not just check out just yet. So we're going to talk about youth as an age, and we're going to talk about youth as young in faith. The Ecclesiastes writer Solomon says this in verse 1 of chapter 12. He says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" Just the other night, Rachel and myself and the Mortons, we went to a concert in Columbus, and this was this concert that we went to was Rachel's favorite band when we were in college, like late high school, college. So we're talking now 20 years ago at this point in time, and this is the first time that I had a chance to see them in concert, and with the occasional, you know, them getting mentioned over the past 20 years, or maybe finding a song by them on purpose because you're not going to hear them on the radio. I hadn't really heard of this band. And we walk into the venue on Friday night. Rachel looks at me and she's like, "There is nobody younger than us here." And we start to look around and it's, 30s and 40s and 50-year-olds. The last band that we went to see got up on stage. And at one point in the middle of the show, he said, "Judging by the amount of money that was spent on babysitters tonight," he said, "maybe we ought to play some old songs." And I find it interesting that when we're younger, we want to what? We can't wait until we are older. And when we are older, we wish we were younger. Yeah, there's this desire that we have that we're constantly wanting to be something that we're not. But Solomon writes, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." There's an author by the name of Nathan Bird that says this in an article, "How Can Youth Be Used by God?" He says, "Time and time again, we see youth used by God in the scriptures and Christian history, and today it is a big part of what he does. Of course, youth are just crazy enough to believe that God can do incredible things. They are passionate, bold, and they don't let life experiences stop them from obeying Jesus. Ultimately, though, I suspect God uses youth because of how they display his glory. He uses youth because of all the ways we stereotype them. It is because they are uneducated, naive, lack maturity that God uses them. If they are humble and they love Jesus, that's all that's needed. God takes care of the rest. He finishes by saying, when God uses a humble-hearted, Jesus-loving youth, there will be no doubt of who is doing the work. It's God. If you have your Bibles with you and you want to flip to 1 Corinthians 12, I want to take a quick look at what Paul writes to the Corinth church. Starting in verse 12, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Jump on down to verse 21. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. And so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. As I read this, as Paul's writing to the church, here's what I don't see. I don't see a distinction between young and old. I don't see a distinction between youth and elderly. I see a body of Christ that is working together. Think about how God uses youth all throughout the scriptures. And I think we're aware of this, but I think a lot of times we forget about this. The disciples were teenagers. They were young adults. Peter, probably the oldest, so we know he was married. The scholars believe he was around the age of 20 when Jesus calls him, the rest being younger. Daniel was a young adult, was a teenager. Mary, mother of Jesus. Samuel was 12 years old when God calls him. Jeremiah 17, when he's called to prophesy. David, scholars believe that David was around the age of 16 when he killed Goliath, which absolutely blows my mind, because when I think about that, I think that he's probably around the age of 30, but he's likely a teenager, and God is using them. Or what about Gideon that we read about in the book of Judges? Gideon, we're not given his age. We're not sure how old he is, but he makes sure and tells us that he's the youngest in his family, and his family's the weakest of the clans. He's hiding in a wine press threshing wheat because he's scared and he doesn't want to be caught. He's young, and yet God uses him. Christians are called to live in community with God's people. All Christians are called to live in community with God's people. All Christians are called to serve other members of God's people, to love them, to be held accountable by them, to be taught by them. And I believe that young people of all God's people need that so much. And I wonder, does the church allow for this to take place? And I'm not just talking Meadowview, I'm talking the church as a whole, but let's talk Meadowview for right now, because this is where we're sitting. Do we foster an environment where people who are younger in age or younger in their faith can feel like they can serve in an environment where they can fail, but they can be encouraged and given grace to continue to serve? I think this is a good time to pause and say this real quick as we're talking about this. There are distinctions and there are qualifications that need to be met for certain roles within the church. To give you examples, when we open up our Bibles and we start to see what the roles of elders and deacons are, we realize that this is a role that is a place for somebody who is not younger in their faith. Up on other qualifications, these are one of the qualifications is simply somebody who is not younger in their faith. But what would it look like if we as a church would be willing to start to say to other people, hey, I have this rule and this is a place that I serve and I would love for you to come alongside of me. What would it look like in the kingdom of God if we start to say, you know what, this is a talent that I've been given, and instead of somebody placing a volunteer in here with me, what if we would start to look at other people within the church, young or old, youth or not, whatever it might be, and say, hey, this is a role that I've been serving in for years. Would you like to come alongside of me and see how I do it? And in doing so, we start to build the kingdom of God. What would that look like if whatever the place might be, and I could give you example of example after today, but what if we would look at our young men and our young women and say, this is the way that I've been taught, and I would love to teach you this. Is that worth it? Is it worth us for us to take part and to dive into the lives of younger people and pull them alongside of us? There's a story that is found. I've said this before. I don't like using the word story, but I kind of default to saying that. There's this account that we read about in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 of a boy by the name of Joash. Now, Joash, scripture tells us, becomes king when he is 7 years old, which is absurd. We're not putting a seven-year-old in charge of anything, but he becomes king when he's 7 years old. Now, let me give you just a little background of what's taken place in Joash's life in just his short 7 years. His father dies. I think his father is like Ahaziah, if I'm saying it right. When his father dies, his grandma decides that she wants to be in charge, right? Every time that I've practiced this week, I'm just going to introduce you into my mind. Every time that I've went over this week, and I was doing this about 9 o'clock last night on this stage, the song "I Just Can't Wait to Be King" pops in my mind, and I just think that she was probably singing that as she wiped out her entire family. I know that's sick, but that was her, not me. Sick grandma, okay? Joash's grandma wipes out the entire royal family, and she becomes the leader. She becomes queen, if you will. She is in charge. As this is taking place, Joash's aunt, Ahaziah's sister, takes Joash and hides him along with a nurse in the temple. Now, her husband is the priest. His name is Jehoiada, something along those lines, Jehoiada. And they keep him hidden there for 7 years. To the point, until when Jehoiada finally gathers some men and they overthrow the crazy grandma and they take Joash and they put him in charge, and he's now king at 7 years of age. In 2 Chronicles 24, verse 2 says that Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It would be really cool if that verse stopped right there, but it's on the screen. You can see that that's not all of it. It says all the years of Jehoiada the priest. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. Unfortunately, Jehoiada dies. We see this a little later in chapter 24, verse 15. It says that he was full of years and he dies. And unfortunately, Joash's life takes a drastic turn. He no longer is following the Lord. Instead, he is destroying the temple and making a mockery of the temple. He's building the Asherah poles and setting up idols. He even has his cousin Jehoiada's son killed as he comes to tell him that what he is doing is wrong and that he needs to change from it. And I bring this moment up from history to say that this is a prime example of why we need people who are willing to come alongside of other people. If you are somebody who is mature in your faith, then you need to come along somebody who is younger in their faith and be a mentor to them. This is why I think our Kids Hope program is so valuable that we have here at Meadowview, because people are coming alongside some of our younger people in the school and loving on them and spending time with them. In Joash's life, unfortunately, like I said, it takes a drastic change after Jehoiada is no longer there. But how can we be mentors, and what can we do, and how can we teach younger people? Paul writes a letter to a young man by the name of Titus. And in Titus chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you want to flip there, I would ask you to earmark this. We're gonna run through this just a little bit briefly, but I would encourage you to read Titus chapter 2 sometime today. He's writing to Titus, and he's telling Titus, he says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. He says, teach older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and endurance. Verse 3, he says, teach older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good. Then they can train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Paul was telling Titus, this is what you should teach. And he's encouraging him, teach this, teach these older men and older women to be mentors, people who are older in their faith to be mentors to people younger in their faith and people younger in their years. He says, encourage young men to be self-controlled in everything. Verse 7, set an example by doing what is good, and your teaching show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. Jump down to verse 12. He teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. And I love what he says in verse 13. He says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been talking in youth group for the past 2 weeks, and we'll wrap it up tonight. We've been doing a series called Your Kingdom Come, and we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And last Sunday night, I said to our teens, I said, there is a part of us that we should be eagerly anticipating heaven, but we should also be doing everything we can to bring heaven to earth and bring God's kingdom to earth. And that is what we should be doing, as we should be sharing and mentoring and telling other people about the good news of the God that we serve. What would it look like, again, church, if we started to intentionally mentor younger people? And we start to bring them alongside of us. I can remember growing up, dad would have to take communion around on Sunday afternoons to people in nursing homes and shut-ins. And I don't know what his rotation was, but it felt like it was all the time. And it felt like it lasted forever. And Jason and I, we didn't have a choice. We went with mom and dad, and we didn't get to stay in the car and play on phones or whatever because we didn't have phones. And so we would just be drug in, and I'll be 100% honest with you. I probably shouldn't say this, but I hated walking into those nursing homes with mom and dad. I just did. I despised it. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to do anything other than be gone all Sunday afternoon. But I sat there, and my brother sat there, and we saw the way that my parents would interact with people, and we would see as my dad would pray with them and offer them communion, and whether they were intentionally trying to teach us anything or just drag us along with them, they were teaching us things, and they were showing us ways that we can love other people, and that is what we need to do as a church. We need to not just give our young people trivial jobs or jobs that we don't want them to do, but we need to empower them, we need to encourage them, we need to teach them. See, God's kingdom doesn't look like ours. The world says that our youth or people who don't have enough experience, they're immature or they're irresponsible or just simply too young. But God's kingdom says you have a purpose, you can serve, you can make an impact. The upside down kingdom of God says there's room for everybody to serve. I came across this quote, and I wish I could tell you who said it, and I did a bad job of writing it down, and I even went back and I tried to find it this week, but I want to share it with you anyway. Whoever wrote this little piece says, youth are not marginalized members of the body of Christ, but are co-creators and conspirators in the divine work of the church, restoring life on earth as it is in heaven. They go on to say, you have the same footing in the church as an adult. This is the only place in society that this happens. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is an equalizer. The same Holy Spirit that is alive and working in my life is alive and working in the lives of our young people who have made Jesus Lord of their lives and have been obedient to him through baptism. Let that sink in for just a minute. Because when I read this for the first time, it was one of those that I had to stop and I had to ponder for just a second. And then I had to read it again myself. This, the church, the body of Christ, is the only place in society where we have an equal footing because of the Holy Spirit who resides in us when we're obedient to him through baptism. And I believe this. I believe, and I tell our youth kids this all the time, that they have the toughest mission field out there, and we call it school. As a student, you walk in, you ride the bus with the same kids to school, you're in the same class with the same group, you see the same people every day as you're traveling from one class to the next, and if you want to avoid them, you have to go way out of your way, and if there's somebody who's making life difficult for you, you see them time and time again. And I believe our students, they have a prime opportunity because they see the same people day in and day out, they have the prime opportunity to be able to share the good news of the gospel. I don't get that opportunity. I see a handful of people that I see when I walk into this building throughout the week. But our students, they have a mission field that they go to day in and day out, and we should be empowering them and teaching them and walking alongside of them because they have an opportunity to be able to reach so many people. What would it look like if we made a decision to be able to pull people in with us to impact the kingdom of God? I believe so strongly in this. As I said, I've been so convicted by this, and I believe so strongly we need to be a body of people who start to mentor and start to serve alongside of each other. That I told our youth this when we talked about this a few weeks ago, that my hope is that this is the last Youth Sunday that we ever have. And I love Youth Sunday, and I hope that you hear why I'm saying this. I hope that we start to see everybody serving in such a way, including our young people, that we don't have to have a designated Sunday two times a year for them to serve. And we're moving in that direction. I'll brag on some of our kids. There's a lot of kids who serve in junior church and wee church and nursery, and you don't see them, and that's okay. Last week, I volunteered to teach wee church, and it was the first time that I taught wee church maybe ever. And it might be the last time that I taught wee church. And if you want to, if you want to come along somebody and serve, wee church is awesome. The kids are great. It is as easy as it comes. I had four kids, four. And when Rachel found out that I was volunteering for wee church, her exact words to me were, "You're going to need a nap next Sunday." And I said, "I'm already planning on it." And I took a nap last Sunday because those four kids were awesome, but tiring. And when Owen heard that I was teaching Wee Church, and he helps Rachel with Wee Church every once in a while, he said, "Dad, I'll help you." And I'll be honest, he's a teenager, so any chance that he can get out of the service, he wants to do so. And a lot of times I tell him no, but on this one I'm like, "Yeah, you better come in there with me, because I have four, and that's way too many." And he was awesome. There were multiple times last week during the service while you guys were in here and we were back with the young ones that Owen would just go and redirect a kid in a loving and a kind way, in a way that I had no chance to be able to do so. In fact, I had Rachel come back and get me when it was time for the closing so I could run up here and do the announcements. And I ran out real quick, did the announcements. And when I came back, those kids were better than they were while I was in there because Owen had them under control. He's 13. These guys are teenagers. There's a lot of people who are younger in your faith. It doesn't matter what your age is. There's a role for you to serve within God's kingdom. And for those of us who are older and mature in our faith, we have to do a better job of coming alongside of those and be intentional in saying, "I want you to serve alongside of me."
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.